Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Out of the gates and ready to go. Hot Mike with Huntley Withrow. Ready on this Thursday edition. Big show plan. Chuck Pagano, former Colts head coach, defensive coordinator for the Ravens and Bears. He'll be with us coming up in 20 minutes. Trey Wallace will check in from Outkick.com. A lot to discuss across the Southeastern Conference. John McClain recaps all of the big headlines from the NFL owners' meetings. And Kurt Schilling will be in studio to break down all the news and preview the upcoming Major League Baseball season. Opening day is here. Chad, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Hutton. Fired up. Baseball has arrived. Ready for a big show with a great guest list today.
Your Braves up big so far.
4-1 last I checked.
Yep, still.
Unfortunately, injuries the storyline today, and that is not my Braves are not immune because Max Fried has exited with hamstring discomfort.
Discomfort.
So hopefully precautionary, but I'm not encouraged.
Well, the Mets fans are
really not
feeling
encouraged.
Worse. Yes, Justin Verlander was scheduled to make the start today for the Mets. He has been placed on the injured list. He has a teres major strain. What that is, that's a muscle in the upper back shoulder area, and he's been placed on the injured list. He will continue to throw, according to the New York Mets. So that's the good news. The bad news is their ace is not making the start for the New York Mets to begin the season, as Steve Cohen has the $500 million payroll. And Verlander, after missing the 2021 season with Tommy John surgery, came back, won Cy Young, and did that with the Astros a year ago. The Mets have all of the expectations. But Chad, Aaron Judge, across the city, steps up to the plate. Second pitch of the at-bat in the bottom of the first against the San Francisco Giants, the team that he nearly signed with this offseason. He hits a homer on his first swing of the season, center field, to give the Yankees a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the first.
Let me put it this way. Standard Yankees start mixed with a standard Mets start if you're in that city.
Yes.
This is very, very Mets. When Edwin Diaz went down celebrating and tore his patellar tendon because he was celebrating a strikeout in the World Baseball Classic, I thought, man, only the Mets would this happen to when they're spending a record amount on their team. And then you get the news about Justin Verlander and the teres major injury, and you think only the Mets. And then you look at the Yankees with all of that success and all those world championships, and you see that in the first at-bat with Aaron Judge as the captain of the New York Yankees, in his first swing, he goes yard. This is with all due respect to Mets fans and Yankees fans for that matter, this in that city is a very Yankee start versus a very Mets start so far.
And Aaron Judge, phenomenal start already in the great 62 homers last year. Aaron Boone, the manager for the Yankees, admitted to the media yesterday ahead of the opening day start, hey, I did tell Judge yesterday, especially with the Giants being in town, one of my lowest, darkest places this winter was when I had to consider that he would be in a Giants uniform in the top of the first at Yankee Stadium on opening day. And, of course, that didn't happen. The Yankees ended up paying him, and rightfully so, they kept him, and they should have. But, Chad, can you imagine if he did this on opening day on the second pitch as a Giant instead of a Yankee back in New York on opening day?
Would have been tough to stomach for those Yankees fans that watched him walk away. There's a
storyline to this. That, it's poetic in a way that he does this after the offseason we went through.
And I'll go back to this. I think so many athletes, too often, they get caught being too short-sighted. And what I mean by short-sighted is we're talking about record amounts of money in Major League Baseball. Yeah. All of these guys are filthy, filthy rich. So what's a couple million dollars here and there? You know, to us, you know, the everyday average working stiffs out there, you're saying, well, it's a couple million dollars. That's a lot, right? It's really not in the grand scheme of things when you think about the constant ability to create revenue for yourself and profit and maximize on your, we say it in college sports all the time, your name, image, and likeness.
Yeah.
If you were Aaron Judge, lifelong New York Yankee, Yankee great, as opposed to Aaron Judge, who had a great year with the Yankees, broke some records, and then bolted to San Francisco because they paid a little bit more money than the Yankees. I think the ability to market off yourself and make more money for the rest of your life in New York with the Yankees far outweighs the opportunity of signing for more money in the short term somewhere else. So I'm happy for the game of baseball that Aaron Judge is in New York with the Yankees, and today's start is another example of that.
All of the teams, they're played today on opening day. First time since the 60s we've seen this happen. Chad, I'm the average baseball fan that was all in and then tuned out, and now I'm tuning in to the team I like to follow, the Baltimore Orioles. But opening day is here, and I think we must acknowledge it is not America's pastime currently, and it's because the fans care more about their team than they do the league. That's on the league. And I'm hoping that with the rules changes, which are, you know, they want to point to as the reason why viewership is down and there's lack of interest and whatever, it's more about the connection you have with the team you follow versus the connection you have with any other team in Major League Baseball. And I want to get back to that. I hope they can get back to that. I'm the average fan that is begging to be captivated. But I'm here to tell you, like, I can keep up with the Orioles. They're tied 1-1 right now with the Red Sox early, fourth inning, I believe. Point being, I need a reason to tune in to any other game I may flip past or stream on the laptop. And Major League Baseball has never done that for me in the streaming era. I need a reason. I need individuals. I need to love a player, love a team, or love to hate that player, or love to hate that team. And Red Sox-Yankees is pretty much it. And even those guys are swapping handshakes and fist bumps and, you know, as we like to say, those guys don't want to fight. And I'm not about the brawls, but I am about, you know, the animosity. I want to get back to that era. The Curt Schilling era of Major League Baseball is long gone. And in many ways, the other leagues are the same exact way. Jersey swapping, laughing, you know, dabbing it up after a loss. It's not for me. And MLB, they frown upon the behind-the-scenes access. They frown upon Trevor Bauer doing a weekly or twice-a-week vlog on YouTube with the cameras rolling behind the scenes because he's giving the fans all access. That was the last time I really felt like I was getting the truth behind the scenes, and it was from Bauer. He would get a fine. He'd go through it. He'd tell you exactly how the players felt about it. There were players in the clubhouse that would, you know, hide their face because they didn't want to be on camera with Bauer filming everywhere he went. I want Major League Baseball to embrace that, not frown upon that. And with all the publicity they're going to get with every team playing today, I mean, if you're, you know, on edge about breaking news in Major League Baseball, Verlander not making a start and being placed on IL prior to even throwing a pitch in the season, if that's the biggest news of the day, that to me tells me it is a daily sport, but it's something that, well, he'll be back in a couple months at worst. He'll be back in a couple weeks at best. We'll see him pitch later. And if he's on the screen, if I'm flipping through and it's not my team, if it's not your team, Chad, if it's not the Braves, are you stopping to watch? The ratings say no. I want to get back to saying yes.
And from a media perspective of Major League Baseball and how it's covered now, it's much more of a broad brush perspective on it. And what I mean by that is baseball has become more of a big conversation on a huge issue like a pitch clock and a rule change, right? Or the bases being bigger. And it's less getting into the weeds. With what you see in the world of football now is you can get into the weeds of Lamar Jackson's contract, and that's going to bring in a broad audience of people that are going to keep eyes on that. Baseball is more feeling, right? I'm not going through – I know today's opening day, but I'm not going through the box scores like I may have as a kid and saying, oh boy, you know, the Braves are playing the Nationals today and this has happened. I'm looking at it like baseball is back. So as a baseball fan, I love that. So there's a feeling about today that there are baseball games being played, but it's less newsworthy interest in the sport that we have with today's game. And that's changed. This has not been an overnight process. That's probably taken 15 to 25 years for that really to. And I think the social media world has probably expedited it a bit.
Because you can see the Judge Homer
It's a big conversation and not a, let's talk about the Seattle Mariners bullpen. And let's see what's going on with that. People nationally don't care, don't know. It's very specific to market and to team in terms of interest in Major League Baseball. Here's another thing that I personally hate, but I do think that Major League Baseball could benefit from. When I was a kid, I became a big Chicago Bulls fan because Michael Jordan played for the Bulls and because they were on WGN. And on my limited cable package, I could watch every Bulls game on WGN. I became a Braves fan as a kid because I could watch every Braves game on TBS. It wasn't one specific player. It was access for the Braves. But with the Bulls, if the Bulls were the Milwaukee Bucks that were available to me and their, you know, Brad Lowhouse was the best player on the team, I'm not a Bucks fan and I'm not watching. Michael Jordan pulled me in. And guess what happened when Michael Jordan left? I wasn't a Bulls fan anymore. But a lot of people stayed with them and are still Bulls fans today because of Michael Jordan. Shohei Ohtani needs to create Angels fans. Aaron Judge needs to create Yankees fans. Go down the list of great baseball players right now. They need to create fans for those teams.
But not their teams, baseball fans.
Yes, but also there needs to be an attachment where it's not just, I know who that is, and more of, I'm bringing someone into the sport and into a team. It happens in the NBA all the time, right? Someone becomes a Warriors fan because of Steph Curry.
Yeah, but
But baseball is more inherited. It's passed down from generation to generation. But you have your team because your grandparents had a team. But with today's world and the way kids consume media, and that's what you're targeting, you know, you're not targeting the 60-year-old that's watched baseball his whole life, that's going to watch his team no matter what. You're targeting the 14-year-old that is currently playing in their local rec league or on a travel ball team. You want to create in them an attachment to baseball for the rest of their lives.
And here's the difference between the eras. You can know who Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout are. Name another player on the Angels roster. So if you're tuning in to watch David Justice back in the 90s for the Atlanta Braves, you're going to learn who Fred McGriff, Jeff Blauser, Mark Lemke, Mark Wohlers. You can start naming off these rosters instantly. And the average baseball fan doesn't give a damn about that anymore. Point blank.
Yeah.
The older audience does. The younger audience is watching the highlight and that's it. And if you're tuning in on that specific reason to the live broadcast, you will learn the players around the game based on the at-bat or based on the pitch. And that's the reason why I feel like we've seen the dip in the sport. It's not the length of the game. I would sit and watch TBS for 3.5 hours, 4 hours in the 90s with the Braves. It didn't matter the opponent. And if you tuned out, you tuned back in whenever it was the third inning. Like, I'll check in an hour and a half. It'll be the seventh or the eighth inning. And we'll watch the finish to this game. I'm not doing that anymore. There's no reason to. And Major League Baseball needs to give me, the average fan, a reason to tune in more often than I do.
Hutton, I'm 41. I think you're 39, if I'm correct.
38.
Sorry, I didn't mean to add a year to your life. I feel like you and I are in the perfect sweet spot that we can swing both ways. And I don't mean swinging in the context. Wow. Get your mind out of the gutters, people. I know I wasn't the only one who thought that when I said swinging both ways. But we understand our parents' generation. Right? Like, we understand 60 to 80 year olds and how they consume sports and their teams and their how they go to games and everything else. I can also, I'm close enough to see the 25 year old that's just starting out with their sports fandom, or it's just now getting ingrained in them and how they're going to practice their fandom of each sport and how they're going to consume the sports and all those things, right? So, looking at it from that right down the middle perspective, what baseball does not need to do. This is the hard balance, though, for baseball.
I know.
And there's no one simple solution. I am empathetic to Major League Baseball for this reason. You have to find a way to not piss off 60 to 80-year-old fan who has spent money with you for their entire lives, who watches, pays for the pay-per-view package to watch their team, buys a cap each year, buys a shirt each year, follows the game, reads the box scores. You got to not piss that person off while bringing in that 25-year-old and getting them into it in a different way. And there's no simple solution to that. I do think these rule changes are a step in the right direction. We'll see if it works. We'll see how it improves the product.
Well,
but I think this could be a step in the right direction.
A rule change that needs to happen is Major League Baseball needs to allow, you know, OutKick with Fox the ability to show a highlight. Right?
Yeah, you can't be overly protective.
If you're holding these highlights, I think about Phil Mickelson with the Live Tour. He was doing the match on TNT and had to pay for the rights to show his highlights from the PGA Tour. I mean, it led to everything.
Yeah.
He's paying $1 million for the rights to that. I mean, it's loosen up on the guidelines with the highlights. And we're not talking about it's not about, these networks are paying big money for these rights. That's true. But I can get on social media and watch it for free. And that's the issue. It is a highlight league. It's a swing and a drive. And I don't care about the score. That's what's missing with Major League Baseball. And let's just look at it from our perspective. How many shows are we going to lead off talking about Major League Baseball compared to the NFL draft and the fact that sports fans can probably name 15 of the 31, it's not 32 this year, 31 first-round draft picks in April's draft for an event where the ball that is used to play the sport is not even visible. That is more ratings-worthy, popular, and known than the starting lineup for any roster across Major League Baseball, other than the favorite player that you may be following.
And it's why the Washington Commanders, with all of their issues and even a nickname that's not the same as the one that everyone knows them for,
right,
is going to go probably for $6.5 billion when all said and done. Probably going to go for more than $6 billion because of that power you just discussed.
And that is exactly why I defend the steroid era, because the steroid era had individuals and personalities. And baseball's missing that. And it may not be the player's fault. It starts up top, and all of the regulation and the handcuffs that are put on the distribution of how I see their sport now.
Something maybe that doctors can work on now? Saferoids. Can we find some saferoids? That would bring Hutton all the way back in. We need healthier steroids. That's what the game needs.
Well, I don't know if there was healthier, but I mean, they did it. I didn't.
The long balls would be healthier.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear Schilling later with you, Chad.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I look forward to having Kurt in studio a little bit later, and we'll break down everything.
When we come back, a great conversation with Chuck Pagano, former Colts head coach, and now he's the coach on Pat McAfee's show on Thursday Night Football, and he keeps it honest on the conversation, pretending to be the Thursday Night Football head coach that's the underdog. I love it. And there's plenty to discuss around the league, including Lamar Jackson. The Colts are involved with that and much more. That's straight ahead on Hot Mic.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Glad you're with us. 6th and Peabody, our location with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine, Hunt and Withrow. across the Outkick Network. If you're listening to this radio partner, we appreciate you as well. Chuck Pagano joins us, former head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, defensive coordinator for the Ravens, the Bears, and certainly known for that side of the football. Coach, good to see you, man. Thanks for the time. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to be with you guys.
Big fan of your segments on McAfee. Were you apprehensive at first to go like all in with that segment as you would behind the scenes of an NFL locker room?
You know, if I thought I was going back into coaching and not fully prepared, I might have been.
It's as uncensored as it gets. And, hey, I would never expect that from the vibe I would get from Coach Pagano on the Colts sideline. So I love it, by the way.
Well, I appreciate it. It's a ton of fun. Pat's an amazing human being, and what he's built that program and that show into. Yeah. And he's such a good human, you know. And him throwing me this retirement lifeline, if you will,
yeah,
it gives me a great football fix, and very, very grateful.
He's been good to us as well.
Yeah, he has. We have a chance to talk with Jeff Fisher a lot, and it's amazing to see how freeing it can be when you know you're probably not going to coach in the NFL again, the way you just mentioned, Coach. What is that feeling like where you now know I don't have to really be guarded at all when talking about the sport that I love?
No, it's a little bit liberating. You stand behind that mic for, you know, I was fortunate enough to get 6 years in Indy talking to the media, and you got to be so guarded and careful with your words and what comes off the tongue and things like that. So it's a lot of fun, but at the same time, I still got a ton of relationships, really good relationships around the league and a bunch of people I care about. So I'm still not going to sit there and try to throw anybody in the bus and trash anybody and whatever, but it's really fun to be on that show and be able to maybe give the people a different, like your, to your point, a little bit different side of ourselves, like Fish and myself, whoever, that, man, I never knew this about Coach. So that part of it's really cool.
This time of year, one of my favorite events to cover was the combine, because the coaches and GMs are in a good mood for the most part, because they're not on the hot seat, right? Everybody's in it. It's a fresh season coming up, a new dawn. Everyone's optimistic in the league based on the cap for the most part. How many coaches, though, are really like, you know what? I'm here to preach the, you know, it's all about the process. But we all know those guys are going to feel heat in November and December. How many guys are like, yeah, I trust the process versus we need to win now?
Oh, they're all going to say that, right? We're all going to say, you know, we're going to stick with the process. But when you're on it, you know, when it got down to 16 in 2017, like I was sitting in that spot and very hopeful that Andrew was going to come back in 17, and that never came to fruition. So you know, but you're going to still be upbeat. You're still going to be positive. You're still going to, because you got to bring hope to the entire, you know, to your team, to your locker room, to those players, the guys that are taking the field. So that part of it is never going to change. These guys are the best in the world that are doing it today in that business. There's only 32 of them. They're great, great competitors. And until they say, hey, look, you're gone, they're going to fight, scratch and claw, and they're going to say what they need to say about the process and doing this, that, and the other. And yeah, this time of year is awesome, because we're all 0-0 and things are looking brighter. We got the draft coming up with all the parity in the league that gives everybody a chance to try to make up ground and get right back in the conversation. So yeah, this is a fun time of the year, especially owners meetings. Those were always a blast, you know. You either go from it was in the Arizona at the Biltmore this year, and then the Breakers. You know, they alternate spots every year. So that was always a great, you know, vacation time, and one that didn't have a lot of stress built into it.
Yeah, I think Dayball has the record this year for the earliest beer, which was like 10:30 in the morning, cracking his beer that early. So props to Brian Dayball. Chuck Pagano.
Which surprises no one, by the way,
right,
that it was Brian Dayball that set that record.
I was surprised it's not Vrabel. Chuck Pagano with us here on Hot Mic. How surprised were you to learn that Andrew Luck was retiring, could you get a sense of it after the injury that he went through in 17?
Yeah, I think we were all pretty surprised, you know, when that came out. But being with Andrew and knowing Andrew and having the relationship that I have with him and watching him go through, we talk about process, the process that he had to go through on a day-to-day just to get ready for practice. It was people that don't know that and don't know the time and the hours that were put in just to get ready for practice, to get ready for a day, let alone a game on Sunday, and the amount of time that he put in away from the training room and practice, but the mental side of it, the amount of film prep that he put in. You know, when he said that, I can just understand and see why, you know, that was just such a daunting task. And it just became overwhelming for him, I'm sure, to do that. And, you know, having a wife and a family and all those kind of things and looking down the road. And Andrew always told me that his, you know, dream job, you know, once football was over, was that, you know, he wanted to coach high school football somewhere and teach history. And Lord knows he's on his way to doing that, probably out in the mountains of Colorado somewhere. But I think we were all a little bit surprised. But again, knowing what I know about Andrew and what he went through on the day to day to just get ready for a practice, it was unbelievable. What a special human being, what a special player. That was like these guys getting ready for this draft.
Yeah.
And to pick your franchise quarterback. I mean, the stars aligned perfect for me back in 2012, not only to get the opportunity to be the coach at Indy, but then to have Andrew, you know, Luck sitting there waiting for us to pick. And that was a no-brainer. And there wasn't any of us that for one instant thought that he wasn't going to be who he was.
Yeah, the Panthers moved up in this draft, but I'm not sure there's that guy in this draft. Surely they know who they're taking, even though they're acting like they're not. The league certainly prefers them do that. But is there a surefire guy among these four quarterbacks that everyone's talking about in the first round?
Yeah, there's no exact science, as you guys know, to drafting anybody, especially your franchise quarterback. This group, there's certainly a lot of really, really good players, you know, at the top of this draft and at that position, you know, Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud and Will Levis, the combine performance that, you know, Richardson, you know, the numbers that he put up, you know, Hendon Hooker at Tennessee, what he did. And I know he's coming off a knee. Again, there is no exact science. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, some guys that are, you know, taken late first round, second round, the Brock Purdy's of the world, yeah. Mr. Irrelevant comes in, right system, right coach, right team, right winning formula. And you plug a guy in like Brock Purdy, who's obviously got the football IQ, the competitive drive, the intelligence, the toughness, the grit, all those kind of things. And he goes, you know, undefeated basically as a starter. And then unfortunate what happened in that NFC championship game. But, you know, I think there's some really, really good quarterbacks, you know, coming out, and especially, you know, those few guys that I talked to. It's a crapshoot. You know, you got to stay healthy, number one, but all those guys certainly, you know, look like they have the arm talent, the accuracy, the intelligence, the competitive drive, the leadership qualities. They all seem like, from what you hear and read, these great human beings. Going to be great teammates, all those kind of things. They've won at the highest level. So it'll be interesting. I'm certainly glad that I'm not having to make that decision.
It did feel almost unfair at the time that when you took over with the Colts, you went from Peyton Manning with that franchise to the year that he was hurt now to get the number one pick and then load up with Andrew Luck after that to have those two franchise guys back to back. But Coach, you are a guy that, when you watch your teams play and your defenses play, you took pride in stopping the opposing team's passing attack throughout your career. And we have a lot of coaches on this show, and I feel like most of them talk about it like it's sitting in the dentist chair when they're trying to prepare for some of these quarterbacks that you would prepare for on a regular basis, Peyton Manning being one of them throughout your career. You seem like you probably enjoyed it a little bit more, trying to find something that might work against these great quarterbacks. Is that true, and was there one quarterback that you particularly like preparing for because of the challenge it presented?
Well, you talked about Peyton and what a nightmare that was, and Tom Brady. Those two were, you know, probably, you know, the top two. And then late in the last 2 years, Aaron Rodgers, you know, being in Chicago and going up against him twice a year at Green Bay. Yeah, I mean, it sounded all, you know, fun and all that kind of stuff, getting ready for, hey, we're going up. It's going to be a great challenge. But it was only fun when the game was over and you happened to get out of there with a W. You know, but the rest of the time preparing and putting a game plan together, yeah, it was exciting. It was fun. It was a huge challenge. Those guys were all unbelievable. And just the metrics, the skill set, the arm talent, but the brains on those quarterbacks, the football IQ, you tried to do so many things just to not show your hand and give these guys tells as to, you know, from a disguise standpoint of what you were doing and when you were going to pressure them, not given, you know, what type of pressure it was going to be, what side it was going to come from. Was it linebacker? Was it secondary? Any of those things. And they always had the answers to all the tests way before. And we probably overthunk a lot of that stuff, but it was a ton of fun. But those three guys, they were a nightmare. And that's probably why, you know, I retired in 2020. And if I would have known Aaron was going to get out of the damn, you know, NFC North, you know, I might have stuck around for another year or two. But yeah, after the last couple whippings I got by Aaron, I said, okay, no moss. I've had enough of this.
How difficult is it as a coach to know something's going to happen, but it won't happen? I'm talking about Rodgers in New York. Robert Saleh's got to be going crazy about this. John Harbaugh with Lamar Jackson is another example. Like, you don't know who your quarterback is, even though you know who you would like it to be, as the offseason and the draft is coming up and you'd like things to be set.
Yeah, it's hard enough to win, guys, when you have one of those dudes in the National Football League. And then it's almost impossible to win when you don't. And so going into the offseason, going into, you know, an upcoming draft with that uncertainty, that's a nightmare. Because when you have it's sometimes it's like you don't appreciate, you know, something, you know, enough sometimes until it's gone, right? Or it's walking out the door. But I don't think that's the case, you know, obviously in Baltimore. We know John obviously loves Lamar. Everybody in that organization, that city, they love Lamar and those teammates and what he's done for that franchise. They all want to make that happen, and they want him back, and they want him as their quarterback. And it's an unfortunate set of circumstances, the business side of the National Football League, and all these things are going to come to pass at some point. And you just hope that, you know, you find a way to get the thing figured out and get your guy, you know, back in the fold. I know New York's gone all in. Robert Saleh's gone all in on this. And John will have, you know, in Baltimore, a contingency plan. You know, Coach Saleh and Joe D and New York, they'll have a contingency plan. But I know their fingers are crossed and they're putting all their eggs in one basket, so to speak, to make these things, you know, these two things happen. But it doesn't make for easy, or it makes for more sleepless nights than not, knowing that this thing isn't a done deal at this point.
Yeah, and tying in what you said about Brock Purdy, you're right about the fit. I mean, it was perfect with Shanahan there. Lamar Jackson would require, maybe even more so, the perfect fit for the offense that can be built around him. Baltimore went all in with him when they drafted him. They reshaped their offense for him. Is there a team that, and again, it's not just the player, it's salary cap space, picks you have to give up. I mean, it's got to be a perfect situation. I know the Colts are interested because they say they're interested. Is that a good spot? And if not, who makes sense for Lamar Jackson, if not Baltimore?
I think the Colts are. I think mostly because, you know, Shane Steichen coming in as the new head coach there, you just look back, you know, to what he did in Philadelphia and what he did with Jalen Hurts and where he brought him, you know, from a, you know, scheme standpoint, a player standpoint, fundamentals. We all went into the year talking about Jalen Hurts. Hey, can he be a good thrower? We know he's a good athlete. He can run. He's got dual threat capabilities, all those kind of things. But can they turn and look at what, you know, Shane and Nick Sirianni and those guys did in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts. So this looks like a match made in heaven. I mean, and you've got a guy that's a former unanimous MVP in Lamar Jackson going back to 2019. So it's not an unknown with a dual threat guy, say like C.J. Stroud or Anthony Richardson. You know, this guy has done it and done it at the highest of levels. So from a scheme standpoint, it looks like a perfect fit. You know, they've got the running back and John Taylor, a couple wide receivers and Pittman and Pierce. They've got some, you know, good looking tight ends on there on that roster. Jelani Woods, an offensive line that needs a couple pieces, but some really good players there, a really solid defense. So I know that fan base, I know that organization, I know that city, they would embrace this big time to have a guy. I know they've gone down the road and it hasn't worked out with the veteran, quarterbacks coming in and this, you know, carousel they've been on, you know, one and done, one and done, and one and done, you know, Rivers to Wentz to Matt Ryan. But this is a totally different, you're getting a 26-year-old former MVP, that now you mentioned, you know, the massive contract that you're going to have to, you know, come up with. You're talking about, you know, the salary cap. You're talking about draft compensation. What are you going to have to give up? So all those things got to line up in order, because they're going to do what's best for the organization. That's what makes these things so hard, is you got to do what's, you know, you want that player so, so bad, but then you don't want to hamstring and just, you know, you want to do this for sustained success, right? But you grab one player and it's going to cost you, you know, four or five other players down the road. It's going to hamstring you, you know, cap wise and what you can do roster wise and putting the pieces around him moving forward. That's all part of putting this puzzle together. And, you know, if they can make that happen, if anybody can make, because there's some other teams out there that could probably, you know, use a quarterback like Lamar and his skill set. So we'll see.
Chuck Pagano with us. I don't know if you're musically inclined or not, but I know Jim Irsay is, at least from what I've seen. Did he ever bust out the guitar in any meeting or party you went to?
Oh, hell yeah. My first, he's awesome, man. There's not a better owner in the world in any sport than Jim Irsay. And we got our Chuck Strong Gala 11.0 coming up in April. Back at the Colts headquarters, he still sponsors that thing and puts that thing on for us. So it's an unbelievable deal. But when I first got hired there, the Super Bowl was in Indy, you know, the Giants versus the Patriots. So we had to go to the game, do the game and all that stuff, watch the game, you know, from Lucas Oil. But before that, I can't remember if it was the night before or the day of, he had a concert, you know, over at a venue and got to watch him get up there. And I knew he was a lover of music and all the memorabilia that he had acquired, you know, to that point. And, but he's up there, you know, just ripping that guitar and singing away and going at it. I'm like, man, I knew I loved this dude for a lot of reasons, but this is like the, you know, icing on the cake for me. He's just, it was awesome.
You thought, let's see Papa Bear Hallis do that. That wouldn't happen, right?
Exactly. Can you see, you know, John Mara, you know, or
I was thinking of Wellington Mara back in the day, right? You know, playing a bass guitar, you know, somewhere.
Can you imagine?
Be awesome. Which, I mean, stories with Irsay, I'm sure, put any story from McAfee to shame. McAfee told the story of he's in London and he realized he had to go through Heathrow. They were going to check, so he had to take the 30 edibles before he got on the team flight home.
Amazing.
Yeah, and he was telling it to his coach.
It's definitely
it's awesome.
It's got to be a unique experience, Coach, when you think about that for your ownership.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you bring up that story about Pat. I mean, the head coach is always last to know, right? You guys know
of
that,
course.
Right?
Yeah.
So as soon as he told that story, whenever that was that a year ago, whatever that was?
Don't know.
That's like the first time that I knew about, you know, the 30 yeah. edibles. And to be honest with you, if I had access after that loss to the Jaguars,
yeah,
if I had access to 30 edibles, I probably would have ate them too, you know, before that flight home.
That was a long flight.
Miserable flight. I mean, we got on the plane, Pat had the foresight, but there was no Wi-Fi on the way back. No, I mean,
of course not.
Everybody's pissed off from getting beat, losing the game. You're staring down, you know, an 8-9 hour flight into the headwinds, all that stuff, and you're miserable. So, yeah, I would have definitely dove into some vitamins at that point.
No telling what Pat was thinking on that flight home compared to the coach and staff the rest of the
time. You can't hold out on the coach, too. No. The coach may be the last to know, but you also can't hold out on the coach. That was his mistake.
Hey, Coach, the Chuck Strong 11.0, are there ways for those not in Indies to support what you're doing? Is there a site?
Yeah, you can get on. I don't have it right on the top of my head, but you can go to, you know, IU Simon Comprehensive Cancer Center, look it up at .org, something like that, and you can go on their website.
We'll tweet it
out. And there'll be an avenue, there'll be a way that you can click on. There's still, you know, tables available. There's still single tickets available. It's going to be unbelievable. We've got Ron Rivera, Riverboat Ron, coming in, sharing the stage to talk about his, you know, his cancer journey and go through Ray Lewis. You know, we all know who Ray Lewis is. Ray's going to be there. Reggie Wayne's going to be there. A bunch of Robert Mathis, Adam Vinatieri, a bunch of former athletes, some current, you know, Colts guys. So it's going to be unbelievable. We've raised almost $12 million. We're a little bit over $12 million to this point. So it's a great event. It's tons of fun. It's super chill. It's jeans, tennis shoes, sneaks, jerseys, a lot of good food, a lot of good booze,
and Ursa.
A lot of laughs, and a bunch of, you know, just generous human beings in that area coming together to raise money for cancer research.
Yeah, we were involved in a massive fundraiser for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society a couple years back, and the cure for cancer will come through the blood cancer research. I believe that based on the advancements made, the money you're doing is going a long way, as you well know, having survived it. Coach, thank you as always. Hopefully we can catch up soon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
A lot of fun. Thank you.
Chuck Pagano there. Former head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, great defensive coordinator, Ravens, Bears, others.
And in need of edibles after that loss, too, Pat McAfee held
out. And now he doesn't
care
because he's not going to coach again. He's retired. Yeah. Hit us up on social. You can interact there. Coming up, Live Tour and the Masters. And what's CBS going to do for the Live golfers versus what we'll see next week for the PGA Tour professionals? That's next on Hot Mic.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hot Mic rolls on. Kurt Schilling will be here in a little over an hour for the final hour. All things Major League Baseball opening day, where the Braves have a 2-run lead in the ninth. The Orioles lead by 4.
There it is.
Midway through their opening game against Boston. And the Cubs. Chad, the Cubs have a chance to be unbeaten after today.
They do. 4-0 over the Brewers. By the way, the Orioles now lead it 8-2. They lead by 6. Over the Red Sox in the fifth. Yankees already a winner today, 5-0 over the Giants. That game went quick. So, Major League Baseball underway, opening day.
So, on Monday, we'll know the national championship matchup for that night. We will also be previewing all things Final Four tomorrow on the show. And by the time we turn the page to next week, Chad, to April, we will have the Masters at Augusta, just around the corner next weekend and Thursday. And CBS, they're going to cover the LIV Tour the same way they would cover the PGA professionals. At least that's what McManus says. Sean McManus We're not going to cover up or hide anything. As I've said often, our job is to cover the golf tournament. We're not going to show any different treatment for the golfers who have played on the LIV Tour than any other golfer. If there is a pertinent point or something that we feel should be brought up in our coverage Saturday or Sunday or other coverage throughout the week, we're not going to put our heads in the sand. And for good reason, because there are players on the LIV Tour that can certainly compete at Augusta National. And they're allowed to play. I can't wait for the drama of this. And I hope we have a PGA versus LIV guy at the top of the leaderboard headed to Sunday.
It's going to be the real test if it is LIV versus PGA Tour. Sunday, back nine, head-to-head, all square. That's going to be good drama.
Guys with green jackets on the LIV Tour.
In Augusta.
Johnson,
always
Reed,
good drama.
Garcia, and others. Coming up, Trey Wallace and John McClain with the latest headlines across the SEC and the NFL.